commit our time, please, to the Lord in a word of opening prayer. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, this morning we come to Thee. We cry, O Lord, unto Thee for Thy help and for Thy grace, and Lord, for Thy presence to be felt in this time of worship. Come and meet with us today, we pray, and Lord, glorify Thy great name. Answer prayer for us. Continue with us now. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing the words of Psalm number 84, please. Psalm number 84, page 77. Words will also be on the screen. How lovely is Thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts to me, the tabernacles of Thy grace. How pleasant, Lord, they be. The Psalm number 84, and we'll stand as we sing this opening psalm, please. Seek the Lord again, please, in prayer. And we still our hearts in His presence asking for His help this morning. Heavenly Father, we come into Thy presence today. And, O God, we thank Thee that we can say, how lovely are Thy tabernacles, Lord, to us. We thank the Lord this morning for the beauty of Thy presence and the beauty of Thy person. We thank Thee, Lord, today that we come into the presence of one who is altogether lovely. O God, we thank Thee today for Thy great love that You had toward us. Lord, we can never understand why You should love us. We can never understand, Lord, why You should set Your love upon us. And yet, O God, we thank Thee today that You've loved us with an everlasting love. We thank Thee, Lord, this morning that we're in Christ. Each one, Lord, in this meeting who's saved, redeemed, washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We thank the Lord today that we have everything that our soul needs. We thank the Lord today that we have found in Him the one who is our all in all. Lord, we want no good thing. Yet, O God, we thank Thee that You have provided, You have met all of our needs. We thank the Lord today for Thy presence and Thy grace in our lives. Lord, to this point already, We thank Thee, Lord, for the health and the strength, Lord, that You've given to us to be here. We thank Thee, Lord, this morning that we are here. Lord, we thank Thee today for Thy grace, Lord, that has been extended to us, that we might come together and worship Thee in a fashion such as this. And Heavenly Father, we cry unto Thee today that You would be pleased to come and be one of our number. Lord, move amongst us today, we pray. May we feel, Lord, the help of heaven. May we know, Lord, that Thou art here and not to bless us. Lord, we need Thee this morning. Therefore, O God, come and be with us today, we pray. Lord, we thank Thee for all who've been enabled to gather in the house of the Lord today. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy grace and for Thy mercy that finds us here. Help us, Lord, to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Help us, Lord, to present our needs before Thee. Lord, we are a needy people. Yet, O God, we thank Thee that the Lord thinketh upon us. Think upon us today for good. Draw very near, Lord, to each and to all. And Lord, especially, Lord, today, we ask, O God, that You'll draw near to those especially who need our prayers in a very particular way. And Lord, this morning, we think of our sister Irene. And O God, we pray that You'll be pleased to touch her. Lord, draw near to her. May she know God's peace, Lord, in the midst of her sorrow and grief. We thank the Lord for every remembrance of Sammy. We thank the Lord for His faithfulness to God's house here. We thank the Lord for His faithfulness, especially to His dear family. And, O God, we pray that today You'll put Your loving arms around them, O God, we pray. For Irene, for Samuel, for Jonathan, Lord, for all the family, for the grandchildren, Lord, at this time, just draw very near. O God, as, Lord, they have lost a dear loved one. Lord, there is, Lord, that emptiness now in the home and in hearts. O God, we pray that You'll draw near, O God, and fill, Lord, and bind up the broken in hearts today, we pray. Lord, we thank Thee today that Thou art the great Comforter, the One who is the God of all grace. And Heavenly Father, we pray that today the Lewis family will know the grace of God and the peace of God to be their portion at this time. We thank Thee, Lord, today that for Sammy it's well with his soul now. We thank Thee, Lord, that he's with Christ, which is so very far better. But, O God, there's pain, and there is an emptiness, there's sorrow. Lord, draw, O God, we pray, alongside to each one and all who have passed through hard and difficult times in recent times. Pray, Lord, again, You'll remember the Tanner family. Remember the Mucoon family. O God, these families that have been plunged into sorrow. And, Lord, even hearts who are still broken today over the loss of loved ones months and perhaps even years ago now. Yet there is still that emptiness. O God, we pray that You'll be pleased to draw alongside and encourage each one of Thy dear children. Remember, Lord, those who are unwell. Remember, Lord, those in hospital this morning. Continue to remember our sister Molly at this time. Lord, strengthen her, we pray. And Lord, we pray You'll draw very close to her and others in their own homes as well this morning. Lord, who are not well, touch them, O God, we pray. And Lord, restore them to that desired measure of health and strength once again. And Father, we pray that You'll remember us for good. Bless us, Lord, as we meet in the house of God. We thank Thee for the little ones who've been in the Sunday school, the young people in the Bible class. Lord, we pray You'll speak on to their hearts. And Lord, we pray, Lord, You'll bless the going forth of Thy word across Thy land this day. Lord, that we'll see the hand of God at work. So hear and answer prayer. Just be with us, we pray. Remember, Lord, the persecuted church. Remember, Lord, those who do not have the liberties and the privileges that we have to worship Thee. O God, we pray that You'll encourage Thy servants wherever they are. And Lord, draw near to each, we ask. So Lord, come upon us, we pray. Pour out Your Spirit upon us now as we seek to worship Thee. In the Savior's name we ask all of these things. Amen. Amen. We're turning this morning in the Word of God again to the book of 2 Kings, please. 2 Kings and the chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. Continue on studying the life of Elisha. 2 Kings chapter 6. And we will read from verse number 8, please. 2 Kings chapter 6 and the verse number 8. Second Kings chapter 6, verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, "In such and such a place shall be my camp." And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, "Beware thou that pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him, and warned him off, and saved himself there, not once nor twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, Behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they were come down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek. But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass, when they were come into Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha when he saw them, My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered, Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink, and go to their master. And he prepared great provision for them. When they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and for all to our hearts for his great name's sake. Let me welcome you this morning. We're glad to see all who have gathered in the house of the Lord today, and in the Savior's great name, we extend to you that warm and sincere, genuine word of welcome, and also to those who are watching online, we welcome you as well. First and foremost, this morning, as a congregation, on behalf of our session, all of our deacons and our entire congregation, we want to express our sincerest Christian sympathy to our sister Irene. And Irene, it is good to see you in God's house this morning, and thank you for being here. And you know our prayers have been with you, and continue to be with you. We've lost a dear friend in our congregation, a man who was an encourager. But our loss is heaven's gain today. And we rejoice that today Sammy's with Christ, which is so very far better. But to Irene, we express our sympathy and our prayers to you and to all your family at this time. May God's grace and comfort continue to be your strength at this time. And others as well who have passed through mourning, good to see Billy back with us again. Pray the Lord will continue to be with Billy and all at this time. It's been a time of loss for many in our congregation, and we pray the Lord will draw very near and comfort hearts that are heavy. Can I just remind you, please, of the meetings today and the week ahead in the will of the Lord. 2:30 is our Sunday school over in Redburn this morning or this afternoon. To remember that, 2:30 for the Sunday school over in the community centre in Redburn. 6:00 we have our season of prayer. That's followed by our gospel meeting at 6:30. We'd love to see you back again for our meeting this evening in the gospel, and why not bring others with you as well. And also we'll be having our brother Jonathan Mitchell along to sing for us tonight. And then for our young people, there is the youth rally, a monthly youth rally over in the Martyrs Church tonight at 8:45. And our brother Chris Killen will be speaking at that youth rally. Tuesday night, our Explorers Bible Club meets here in the church at 6:30 for the boys and girls. We good to see so many gathered in these past number of Tuesday nights, and let's continue to remember the Explorers Club this Tuesday evening. Then we have our Bible study and prayer meeting at 8 o'clock on Tuesday evening as well. We'd love to see you out on a Tuesday night, and we'd love to have you with us. If you don't normally come, then come. If you haven't been for a while, we'll make sure that you get back on Tuesday night for the Bible study and prayer meeting. We continue looking at the subject of the sounds in Scripture, and God willing, we'll continue that study on Tuesday evening. We'll also have the Lord's table afterwards on Tuesday night as well. Next Lord's Day, the service is all at the normal times, 11:30. Our morning worship service, our brother Billy, is going to be singing next Sunday morning, God willing. And then next Sunday evening in the gospel, the Brook Quartet will be here to sing. So there's plenty of encouragement for you to come next Sunday as well. And do remember, of course, the Sunday schools here in Sandown, 10:15, and in Redburn at 2:30. And both of the services are preceded by the half hour of prayer. Do continue to remember our sister Molly Kyle, please, as she still is in hospital. And do remember Molly in your prayers. Missionary Council offering for last week came to £282. Thank you for your giving to the Missionary Council. Also, the offering boxes are available today for your tithes and offerings as you leave. There are a number of cards that I want to read out to you. First of all, on behalf of Ken and Janie McCune, they write on behalf of Ken, myself, and the McCune family. We would like to publicly thank you, Rachel, and the congregation for your prayerful support over the last few weeks. After the sudden death of our nephew Barry, and most recent, the sudden death of Ken's brother, Terry, I know that without Christ and the people of God praying, it would be humanly impossible to carry this burden. Thank you for the many cards, calls, and texts received. Please continue to pray for Emma, Caroline, and indeed the family. I know that these prayers have been appreciated. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. We do not understand the pathway we walk, but I trust God is ahead of us and leading us in his way, and we know that his way is perfect." God bless Janie and Ken. Also, we've received a little thank you as well from our sister Noreen McAfee, who has returned again to Uganda, and she writes to say, "I really enjoyed renewing fellowship with you all in Sandown. Thank you for your interest and your support for God's work in Uganda. May God continue to bless his church both at home and abroad." Every blessing, Noreen McAfee. And she sends just a little update from Uganda. She does ask us for prayers and to continue to remember the work there in prayer, the spiritual needs of our students, staff, parents, and neighbors, and the students who will sit their primary O-level and A-level exams in the next few weeks. Also, she asks for prayers for her brother, Mr. Trevor Wiley, as he comes to minister for some weeks during October and November. Also, do remember the Reverend Ray Carskadden. As we announced a few weeks ago, it is his plan to go and to take up the work of God there in Uganda, and pray that as he makes his preparation, conducts the deputation meetings, that the Lord will bless him. As God willing, he will go to Uganda. He, his wife and family plan to move to Uganda next year in the will of the Lord. These are all the announcements, and as always, they are made subject to the will of the Lord. We're going to sing again the words of hymn number 134, please. Hymn number 134, "Before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me." We're going to stand together as we sing this hymn, please. We're turning back to 2 Kings, please. 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. I want this morning to look at the subject of when all hope is lost. When all hope is lost. In verse 15 of 2 Kings chapter 6, as we continue in our studies through the life and ministry of Elisha, his servants, having seen the enemy encompassing them round about, he makes this statement at the end of verse 15, and he says, "Alas, my master, how shall we do? Alas, my master, how shall we do?" It seemed to him that all hope was lost. Before we come to the Word of God, let's seek God's face, please, in a word of prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we thank the Lord this morning that before the throne of God above, we have a strong and a perfect plea. We thank Thee, O God, this morning for our advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. We thank Thee, O God, that it is through Him and all because of Him that we can come to Thee. And so, our Father, we pray that You will be pleased, Lord, to come and by the Spirit of God speak to our hearts. Lord, may we know the presence of the Lord. May we hear the voice of the Lord. O God, we pray that we'll know and experience Thy protection. Be with us just now, we pray. Lord, we cry unto Thee, come, Lord, and help us, Lord, as we come around the Word of God. May this Word be that living Word to all of our hearts, we pray. So be with us, continue with us, and Lord, help us just now. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. So after the seemingly insignificant event that we considered a few weeks ago in the life of Elisha, when the chopper lost his axe head while chopping down trees, Elisha now finds himself in a much more difficult situation. We read in verse number 8 that the king of Syria warred against Israel. Syria was the perpetual thorn in the flesh for the northern kingdom of Israel. Just as the Philistines were the perpetual thorn in the flesh for the united kingdom under David and Saul. And what we have here in these verses that we want to look at this morning by the help of God is another part in the life of Elisha. Another one of those times when the Syrians attacked the nation. And if you look at verse 15, you'll see just how surrounded the people were. In verse 15, we read that when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And the servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" You see, it seemed that they were just about to be wiped out. It seemed that there was no hope now. They were going to be overtaken. They were going to be decimated. It seemed that all hope was lost and all hope was gone. The enemy was too great. The battle was too hard. Now this servant says, all hope is lost. And the sentiments really of verse 15 sum up the mood of the people at that time. When all hope is lost, and we come to the conclusion that nothing can be done. What do we do? Where do we go? Or how do we respond in such a time when it seems that all hope is lost? In these verses that we read together, there is, I believe, a timely reminder for us all. All who know and love the Lord, at times when it seems there is no hope, that there is hope. There is hope. Because with the Lord, there is always hope. With the Lord, there's always the prospect of a brighter and a better day. When it seems that our backs are against the wall, it's then that God steps in just at the right time. Maybe this morning, as you sit here in church, you're in such a place today. You're in a dark place, a difficult place. You're in a place today where it seems all hope is lost. Well, today the Lord has a word for you. And the Lord desires to speak to you through His Word. As we consider this example, this account of what happened at a time in the nation of Israel when it seemed that all hope was lost, when they were under attack, and it seemed now they were going under. As we consider these verses, I want us to consider this attack that came against the people, how the Syrians warred against the nation of Israel. I want you to see, first of all, here there is the timing of this attack. The timing of this attack. Look there in verse number 8. Look what it says. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel. Then, when? Well, the link is with the previous verses. And what we have in the previous verses is what we looked at a few Lord's days back when we have the example, the account there, of the axe head being restored and effectiveness back in the work of God. But just as soon as the people get back to work, and just as soon as the work is restored, the enemy attacks. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel. At the time when the work was going forward and the work was getting back again, then the king of Syria warred. As we think of the timing of this attack, I want you to see something more about it. I want you to see that it was ungrateful. Now, remember what has happened. What has happened just a short time ago, particularly with Naaman. Naaman, who was one of the captains of the host of Syria, who had been healed under the instructions of Elisha, under the man of God, by the power of God. And now the king of Syria displays a most ungrateful, thankless attitude for the good that was done to his chief military man by attacking the people of Israel again. The healing of Naaman, a Syrian, one of the leading lights in the army of Syria, did nothing to soften the heart of the king of Syria. He showed no thankfulness at all. This man, rather, had a bitter, evil heart, and not even the mighty goodness of God in healing Naaman was enough to soften this man's heart. And you know, folks, how often, when you think about it, how often is the goodness, how often is the kindness of God spurned and reject it? When God has been good and God has been merciful, how often do people turn their back on God? Psalm 72, in the verse 12, we read, "For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper." Verse 17, "His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed." When you think of the goodness of God to all the earth. And yet how ungrateful and how unthankful this world is. Of course, this world will deny the existence of God, deny the goodness of God, deny the mercy of God. And yet the reality is everything we have and anything we have comes from Him. And yet, like the king of Syria, it matters not how often goodness is extended to people. There are some people who will just be bitter and hard and difficult. This was an ungrateful attack here. Not only was it ungrateful, the timing of this attack, but it was also uncovered. Go back there to verse 8. We read, "The king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place shall be my camp." So there was a plan, there was a strategy. This is where we're going to fight. This is how we're going to fight. This is what we're going to do. And he took counsel with his servants outside of the army of Syria and the military top brass. Nobody knew. But God knew. Look at verse 9. "And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, Behold, that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down." Elisha, the man of God here, knew about this attack even before it happened. God knew all about the Syrians' plan. God knew what was in their mind. This was seemingly planned in secret in verse 8. He took counsel with his servants, and yet it was known to God. You see, every wicked, every evil intention is known to God, is seen by God. But God was going to work, and God was going to confound the enemy. Because God said through Elisha in verse 9 to the king of Israel, don't go to such a place, because there the Syrians are going to attack you. Maybe this morning you're under the attack of Satan. And remember, the Lord sees it. He knows every tactic. He knows every strategy of Satan. But he also provides a way of escape. And whatever you may be going through, he will provide that way of escape. God, you see, was working behind the scenes. And the evil plans were going to be foiled and failed. He can bring to naught every wicked device of Satan. And remember, this morning you feel the attack is difficult and hard, and it's just one after the other, and nobody knows, but the Lord sees. The Lord sees just the attacks that you're under. And remember this, remember what the Lord said in Isaiah 54 in the verse 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. There is no weapon that is formed against the child of God and against the church of Christ that will ever prosper. Every evil plan is doomed from the start. This was ungrateful, it was uncovered, but it was unrelenting. Come in verse 10 again. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once or twice. The attacks of the Syrians were unrelenting at this stage. God had revealed to Elisha, the king of Syria's plans. But this was happening again and again, not once or twice, as we read there in verse 10. How many times does the devil attack? How many times does the devil come and try to trip you up? Satan will never give up in his attacks of you. Dear Christian, this morning, you may be under attack from the devil, you may gain that victory, but be sure he'll be back again. He'll not stop. He'll not stop. He will never give up in attacking and tempting the child of God, and there'll be times when you feel all hope is lost. You just never seem to be out of it. We see as well the timing of this attack. It was ungrateful, it was uncovered, it was unrelenting, but it was also unrestrained. Because, as we read in verse 10, the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of and saved him. So his attack is revealed now. Therefore, verse 11, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? In other words, who's the insider? Who's the mole here? Who's telling the king of Israel about our plans? Because whoever it is, they're going to be dealt with. It was unrestrained. He was asking, who's siding with the enemy? And look at the answer, verse 12. And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha. The prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. It wasn't any of the Syrians. It was Elisha, a man many miles away in the city of Dothan, as we'll see. and the king is filled with rage. So we're troubled in verse 11 as we read. And he was going to get Elisha. He was going to make sure that Elisha was sidelined and silenced. And so what does he do? He sends all his soldiers and his chariots to get Elisha. You see, the anger of this man is unleashed against the man of God. Verse 13, we find that Elisha is in Dothan. And verse 14, he therefore sent he, that is the king of Syria, thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. Oh, the king of Syria, he thought now he's got his man and he's going to deal with Elisha. I know now where he is. I know the boy who has been telling and siding with the king of Israel. And I'm going to get him. They believed they had Elisha exactly where they wanted him. There was no escape now. As far as the king of Syria was concerned, Elisha was a dead man walking. We've got you. You're surrounded. But as we go on to see, God was with Elisha. It seemed that all hope was lost. Because we think of the timing of this attack, think as well now, secondly, of the terror of this attack. You come into verse 15 now. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. The king of Syria meant business here. He wasn't for letting Elisha go. He was making sure that everything was covered. Every base was covered, as the expression is concerned. And now we see Elisha's servant filled with terror. Look at verse 15. Alas, my master, how shall we do? What will we do now? His heart was seized with fear, overcome with panic. And facing the ranks of the enemy and the opposition, he panicked and he says, what are we going to do? How often have we been in such a situation? How often have we been in circumstances in our lives and we say, well, what are we going to do now? Seems all hope is lost. What shall we do? It reminds me of Hebrew class, first year Hebrew class. It was an awful time, it really was. And he went round the class, I'm not going to say the lecturer, but he went round the class, there was only three of us. We had no hiding place. And we really didn't know much of Hebrew. Still don't know much of Hebrew. And he was asking us, and none of us really knew the answers. And he took the glasses down as far as they could on his nose, and he just looked at us all, and well, what are we going to do now? Well, I had no idea what we were going to do, because Hebrew is a heavenly language, and I don't think we'll really understand it until we get to heaven. What will we do? Where will we go now? What direction will we turn? It seems there was no way out. They were in a place of despair and panic. As we think of this terror here that had come upon the servant of Elisha, notice the source of it. Where did it come from? Why and how was this man overcome with fear? Well, the source of this fear, this terror, was that the man had his eyes on the hosts of the enemy. Look at verse 15 again. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and with chariots. Can you picture the scene? Here's the servant of Elisha, and he goes out in the middle of the night, and all he sees are all the hosts of Syria. He sees the enemy, And the more he looks at them, the bigger they seem. And folks, isn't that true? The longer we look at a problem, and the longer we look at a situation, the bigger that problem seems. And we become overcome with fear and dread. And situations just keep coming. And like Peter, we think we're just going to sink now. And we cry out, alas, what shall we do? Fear is unbelievably powerful. It can stop you in your tracks. Come bring you to the point of giving up. The source of this terror was that his eyes were on the host of the enemy. But we see the solution. Look at verse 16. And he answered, that is, of course, Elisha. He answered, fear not. Fear not. How often does the Lord come to us with that command in Scripture? Fear not. God's man didn't come with a strategy and say, well, we're going to do this, and then we're going to do that, and then we're going to do the next thing. No, he just said, we're going to trust God here. Fear not. Fear not. And whatever you may face today, whatever circumstance you may be in today, no matter how great it may seem, and no matter how difficult it seems, the word of God to your heart, the word of God to my heart, fear not. Fear not. It is faith, not feelings, that will remove the dread and fear. It is faith not in what we feel or how we feel, but faith in what we know. Fear not. You see, faith is founded in facts, not fanciful notions. Not about what we feel or how we feel. Because the reality sometimes that the way we feel can bring us into bondage and greater bondage. Child of God this morning, when it seems that all is lost and the solution seems to be so far away, what do we do? Where do we get the strength to go on? It's not in our feelings, it's in our faith, it's in what we know. It's in what we know. Remember when Daniel was faced with the wrath of Nebuchadnezzar and he faced almost certain death. It wasn't his feelings that got him through. It was his faith. It was what Daniel knew when he was under pressure, either to bow or to burn. And what did Daniel know? Well, Daniel knew, we read in verse Chapter 3, verse 17 of Daniel, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. He knew that his God was able to bring him through. In Daniel chapter 2, in the verse 28, he says, but there is a God in heaven. And when Elisha came to his servant, and he said to him, fear not. He was reminding him of what we know about God, that our God is greater than the enemy, that our God is able to overcome the enemy, that there's a God in heaven who has not forgotten or forsaken his people. Dear Christian, this morning, as you pass through your situations in life, and it seems that you're up against a brick wall, and it seems that all hope is lost, remember this: your God is for you. God is for you, and God will bring you through. We see the success as well, because when all hope was gone, God brought before this man and before the people that their success was guaranteed. Because look what he goes on to say in verse 17. Fear not, why? For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. You see, faith brings things into perspective. It gets our eyes off the trouble and gets our eyes onto the greatness of the Lord. You see, Elisha saw more than the Syrian host. He saw God's host. And it was far greater. God had sent the hosts of heaven to protect and guard his people. What a wonderful thing this morning to know that while it seems all hell rages around us and there's nothing but trouble and trial in this old world, remember that they that be with us are greater than they that be with them. In other words, God was going to send the hosts of heaven to defeat the enemies and to defend his people. We've looked at that study in the past, the angels of heaven. What a wonderful study it is. To think that God sends his angels to watch over his people, to guard and to protect and to provide for his people. You may think this morning that you are in a hopeless situation. And your back is against the wall, and the situation is too great, and all seems hopeless. Remember that we have a God who specializes in impossibilities. You don't know where to turn today. You don't know how you're going to get through situations today. God is going to bring you through it. Little gospel hymn says, God, any rivers you think are uncrossable. God, any mountains you can't tunnel through. God specializes in things thought impossible. He does the things others cannot do. And Elisha prayed that his servant's eyes will be opened to see the greatness of God. Verse 17, Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And oh, that we may see just how great our God is. May we see that we have a God who is all-powerful. May we see that we have a God who is almighty. May we see that we have a God who will bring us through every situation. May we see that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. You see, God always vindicates his people. There's the terror and the timing. But finally, as we close, I want just to see now the trap that foiled the attack. Elisha prayed, as we said, for the eyes of his servant to be opened. And the Lord answered that prayer. The Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. He saw now the greatness of God. He saw the power of God. He didn't see the horses and the chariots of the enemy. He saw the horses and the chariots of God. He saw that God was going to deliver. God was going to bring through. In verse 18, when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the people and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Here now is the working out of how God was going to foil the attacks of the enemy. We see, first of all, that this trap involved a miracle. Elisha's life was full of miracles. His ministry was full of miracles. And once again, we see another one of those miracles. Because the eyes of the entire Syrian army were blinded. We read that in verse 18. And he smote them with blindness, according to the word of Elisha. Not blinded so much in the sense that they could not see, but blinded to the sense that they didn't know where they were or what they were doing. This great Syrian army, who were a force to be reckoned with, a force to be feared, now they were of no use at all. They were in a daze. They didn't know where they were going. They didn't know what they were doing. Why? Because God confounded the attack of the enemy. And God can still confound and confuse our enemies. Listen, folks, I know that we're living today in an age when it seems that the wicked are getting more wicked and that evil is getting worse and worse. And it seems that the enemies are just having a field day. But listen, our God can still confound and confuse the enemies. He can bring them down, cause confusion in their ranks. That's what happened here in verse 18. They didn't know what they were doing now. Oh, they had a strategy. They had a plan. That was all now in tatters. The enemy seemed so powerful, and we seem so helpless beside them. But our God is able to do greater than we can ask or think. Seems today that the church is powerless and lifeless to do anything to turn back the tide of evil and sin. But just when things seem hopeless, that's when God steps in. You read the accounts of revivals. You read the accounts in the Word of God. When God stepped in, they weren't in times of blessing. They were in times when they were under the attack of the enemy. And the day was so dark. You think of that great revival of the Protestant Reformation. It was at a time when the Church of Rome was in total ascendancy. And across this continent, it seemed as if the light of the gospel was just about to go out. And yet God stepped in. And folks, today in 2022, it seems that the light of the gospel in our land and in our province and in our city is just about to go out. But God can still step in, confound our enemies and confuse them. Just when things seem hopeless, God is still the God of miracles today. The Syrian army had their plan to capture and to kill Elisha, but God had his plan. And you know what? God's plans always happen. And the enemies have their plans today, how they're going to destroy and decimate the people of God and the work of God. But God has his plans and can bring to naught the plans of the enemy. And so they are led to the city of Samaria. And in that city, now their eyes are opened. Look at verse 20. It came to pass when they were come into Samaria that the Lord said, open the eyes of these men that they may see. Just as an aside here, Elisha was a man in tune with God. Every prayer he prayed, God answered. He prayed for the eyes of his servant to be opened. God answered that prayer. He prayed for the eyes of the Syrian army to be closed. God answered that prayer. And now he prays for the eyes of the Syrian army to be opened, and God answered their prayer. Here was a man in tune with God, a man who knew how to pray. Verse 20, and the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. Their plans had now changed. What they thought they wanted turned out to be something they did not want at all. They were out to get Elisha and the king of Israel, and now they were in the very hands of Elisha and the king of Israel. What a turnaround. And the king of Israel, verse 21, said unto Elisha when he saw them. My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? He couldn't believe. He had the Syrian army now right where he wanted them. And he was about to butcher them. But as we close, notice not only the miracle of this trapping, but notice the mercy. The king of Israel said to Elisha in verse 21, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? Verse 22, he, that is Elisha, said, answered, thou shalt not smite them. Thou shalt not smite them. You see, instead of force, Elisha was going to show them favor. And instead of a bloodbath, he was going to set before them a banquet. Because in verse 22, he says, set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. Has Elisha lost his marbles now? This is the very army that wanted Elisha dead. And Elisha shows mercy to those who had wronged him. Or when we're wronged, we want to retaliate. We want to get even, and that's the natural reaction. They've wronged me, I want to get my own back. And we want to take justice into our own hands. But actually, if they had have been killed, that wouldn't have been justice. Elisha here, in his actions in verse 22, is a wonderful picture of Christ. Christ who showed mercy to those who had wronged him. We who were sinners, full of hatred towards God, and yet God in Christ showed mercy to us. He seeks mercy. And folks, where would we be if it had not been for the mercy and for the grace of God? Where would we have been today if God had not shown mercy to us? Where would we be today if the Lord does not forgive us those times when we fail Him, those times when we let Him down? Elisha showed mercy. And Elisha was able to turn this whole situation around and turn it around without one battle being fought, without one sword being drawn. Where did he win this battle? He won this battle in the place of prayer. He brought it all to the Lord in prayer. And the same is true today. Where will we win our battles for God? It'll be in the place of prayer. When we leave it all before the Lord, look at the effect that it had. Verse 23, he prepared great provision for them, and when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. He killed this army with kindness. God defended his people, God delivers his people, and God still does the same today. God delivers again. My God delivers again when it seems that all is lost. He reaches down his hand. Then all the forces of evil have to flee at his command just when things look hopeless. My God delivers again. And folks, today, wherever you are in your life, be assured God will bring you through it. God will not leave you. He will not forsake you. Whatever you're going through, He will bring you through. Isn't it true at times that all we see is the fierceness and the hopelessness of our situations? Yet may God open our eyes to see the greatness of our God. All may seem hopeless now, but don't lose hope.
because our God is able. Press on. Pray on. And leave all the difficulties with Him. And He will bring you through. When all hope is lost, there is still hope with Him.